RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome to the 1 hour English Bulletin program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, followed by News in Brief. Then we'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and Music Corner. Now listener, let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia begins crackdown on illegal teen minors. Toddler declared free from mayors. Death penalty is now assumed to give shock therapy for narcotics sellers. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has fought to crack down on growing illegal teen mining activities in the country to ensure that the government will be able to control teen production more effectively. Speaking during a limited cabinet meeting on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia, the world's largest teen producer, could no longer control the global teen market because of lack of supervision of illegal mining. Teen prices had been low because of an oversupply, partly as a result of an increase in illegal teen export from Bangka Belitung. President Joko Widodo added that if the problem related to illegal miners could be resolved, Indonesia would be able to control the market more effectively. Indonesia is the world's largest export of tin, which is used for soldering transistors and chips in mobile phones, laptops, televisions, and other electronic appliances. The country's tin producers have suffered hard from the plunging prices of metal as a result of decrease in demand from China, its biggest tin producer. The tin price hovered at around $15,170 per ton on the London Metal Exchange on Tuesday. The price has declined more than 20% this year despite the cut in supply from Indonesia. Another patient suspected of being infected with Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, has been declared free from the virus, the latest in the series of false alarms since last year. Head of the Health Indonesian Health Ministry Research and Development Division, Chandra Yoga Aditama, said that the patient, a 2-year-old boy who was admitted to Sulianti Saroso Hospital in Jakarta, was infected by the disease after a teen from the ministry conducted a series of tests. The result is negative for MERS coronavirus or COV and positive for influenza, he said. The ministry also tested people who had contacted with the child and found that all came out negative. The Health Ministry General Director for Disease Control and Environmental Health, Muhammad Subu, said that the boy was only a suspect because his symptoms emerged 15 days after he returned from a trip to South Korea. The symptoms should have appeared within 14 days at most, he told Jakarta Post on Tuesday, adding that the tests still needed to be carried out to ensure that there was no infection. The campaign of danger for using narcotics and drug abuses can give information for many people, even by having negative effect. It is expected for people not to use it. This was stated by social observer of Indonesian Institute of Science, Livi Irent Gayatri, to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday related to International Day of Anti-Drug Abuses. She said that penalty trend for narcotics sellers has not given shock therapy.
I think the campaign of danger of using narcotics can give warning, but the situation has changed that there is a decrease of death penalty method in many countries. The death penalties are only in Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. Does the long time that penalty gives shock therapy? We haven't seen yet, but it can distract the bulk of cooperation, and it is still used by Indonesia. Then there is also death penalty in amend the Criminal Code or KUHP. Moreover, Irene Gayatri explained that the death penalty for sellers of drugs, abuses, and narcotics has not reduced the seller of narcotics. But to make international world respect Indonesia, it is much better for Indonesia to manage the law system and court. Indonesian foreign minister says it cannot verify a report that an Indonesian jihadist fighting for the Islamic State or IST has been executed by the group that infecting some of its members with AIDS. The initial report carried on Tuesday by the Syrian human rights group Sound and Picture quoted an ISIS member in the group's stronghold of al-Sadadi in northeastern Syria, saying that the group had traced back a chain of positive tests to the immigrant who carries the Indonesian nationality, and that happened when he was donating blood at one of the IST hospitals. The militant said that the Indonesian fighter was known to have given his 15-year-old Yazidi slave girl, presumably kept for sex purposes, to a fellow fighter from Egypt. An investigation by IST later confirmed that both Egyptian jihadists and the girl were infected. Armanata Nasir, a spokesman for Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the ministry had sought clarification from the British tabloid about the claim that an Indonesian had been executed. He also said that Jakarta had been in touch with his mission in Damascus, Ankara, and Istanbul to try and confirm the report, but not to avail. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. At least 16 groups of musicians and individual artists from Indonesia as well as other countries took part in Festival Dawai Nusantara FDN, to the country's stringed instrument music festival in Malang, East Java. They boasted such instruments as the violin, kecapi or cedar, East Nusa Tenggara Sasendo, or a stringed bamboo-tubed cover with palm leaves, Kalimantan Sapet or lute, and rapat sekilin pulau or pouch bamboo viola, Middle Eastern oud or lute, and African kora or 26 stringed lute, and employed then at the Taman Kreda Budaya Cultural Park. Festival founder Reddy Eko Prasetyo felt the need to remind young artists and the general public of the typical sound of string instrument from several parts of archipelago that are currently almost overwhelmed by the influence of industrial music. Reddy said that this Malang artist also plans to make the event held on June 5th until 7th this year. An annual festival, but in a slightly different format, the next festival will have a lot of more participants, plus worshipped. The newly appointed President Director of Indonesian Stock Exchange, or IDX, Tito Sulistyo, promised on Thursday that he would triple the transaction value at the local stock market to 15 trillion rupiah, or around $1.13 billion, during his three-year term. Speaking to reporters following his appointment, Tito said that he would invite more state companies as well as small and medium-scale companies, including startup firms, in order to make the target. To achieve this target, IDX should also create good products and improve listed companies' portfolios to strengthen local brokers and to enhance surveillance, he said, adding that they will imminently move 380,000 investors in the bourse, since only 5% of them are active traders. Tito, Vice President Director of Toll Road from Citra Marga Nusafala Persada, was officially named the top man in the country's stock exchange through an IDX shareholders meeting held in Jakarta on Tuesday, replacing Ito Warsito, whose two-three-years tenures have now come to an end. Tito said that the board would adopt U.S. stock exchange Nasdaq's dealer's driven SIM, creating a parallel bourse for small caps and startups where designated market makers would set the prices for each sale, in contrast with existing bourse where prices are purely defined by supply and demand. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Deputy Prime Minister Vietnamese Foreign Affairs Minister Harbin Mink have led the second meeting of the Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation at Gedung Pancasila, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister in Jakarta on Friday. The second meeting of the Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam is one of the key mechanisms to explore the opportunities and challenges in order to strengthen the bilateral relations between the two countries. Indonesian Ambassador to Vietnam, Meyer Fass, at a press conference in the Foreign Affairs Ministry Office in Jakarta on Tuesday said the second Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation discussed about the review of implementation of the cooperation between the two countries in the last 3 years. The Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam was at the Foreign Affairs Minister level. The things had been discussed were first regarding to the review of the implementation of the cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam in various fields in the last 3 years. What things that we have achieved and that need to be strengthened, and if they are not yet implemented, what needs to be done so that a partnership which has been agreed can run well.
Dilakukan agar suatu kerjasama yang telah disepakati bisa berjalan dengan baik.
Furthermore, Ambassador Meyer Fass said that the second Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation also discussed about the measures to strengthen the cooperation in various fields such as economy and trade as well as the sea border between the two countries. According to Ambassador Meyer Fass, Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to increase developed trade in 2018 with a target $10 billion. Meanwhile, in the tourism field, the number of visits between the two countries in 2014 was still relatively small, only reaching 100,000 tourists from Indonesia visiting Vietnam, and only 40,000 tourists from Vietnam visiting Indonesia. Meanwhile, the number of world tourists who visited Vietnam in 2014 reached 8 million people. The governments of Indonesia and Vietnam had been committed to increasing the cooperation and coordination in the ASEAN framework, including the commitment to creating peace and stability in the South China Sea. The last item, during January 2015, Malaysian Air Force has violated Indonesian airspace on Sibatik Island, North Kalimantan, for 7 times. From the 7 violations, Indonesian government has sent 2 protest notes to Malaysian government, while the 5 others are still waiting for the completeness of data before it is sent to Malaysian government. That was stated by Director of Political Security and Territorial Treaties of Directorate General of Legal Affairs and International Treaties of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Octavino Alimuddin, at a press conference in Pelaparun, Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Octavino Alimuddin, the Malaysian government will answer the protest note sent by the Indonesian government if the neighboring country justifies that it has violated the Indonesian borders. From 7, some of them are still waiting for the completeness of data, so we are not going to send the note without valid data support, because we do not want a note that we convey, and then it will be rewarded with further requests about the data. So this is not a correspondence for us when we send a protest note. That was one note, but it is clear that the country was in violation. Please check to their internal level, and if it, for example, there is an answer from them, in general it was if they considered that they themselves were true. The violation was happened, but the protest notes that we sent were two. Previously, Octavino Alimuddin said that the protest note sent by the Indonesian government to the Malaysian government is a protest note signed by Indonesian military commander General Muldoko in February 2015 and submitted to the Minister of Foreign Affairs to be sent to the Malaysian government. Meanwhile, in different occasions, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi has said at Pancasila Building in Jakarta recently that before sending a protest note to Malaysia, Ministry of Foreign Affairs has been coordinating with the Indonesian Navy and Air Force regarding the certainty of the coordinate point which was violated by Malaysian Air Force. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today titled French-US Relationship Heating Up Because of WikiLeaks. Once again, WikiLeaks makes an uproar in regard to espionage activities. This time, France is upset because of news leak of WikiLeaks, which reported that the United States has been spying on its European allies within 3 presidents. The document, classified as a secret, was published by WikiLeaks, website along with French Daily, Liberation and website of Mediapart. In the document, the spying activities done by the U.S. intelligence were revealed to target three French presidents, namely President Jacques Chirac, Nicolas Sarkozy and François Hollande during 2006 to 2012. Spontaneously, President Hollande was very annoyed with the news and immediately held an emergency meeting, and he said that France could not tolerate such actions that threatened the security of his country. Source of French government reported that French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius summoned the U.S. Ambassador Jane Hartley on Wednesday to discuss the issue. The United States does not want to comment on the embarrassing activities. However, the U.S. National Security Council spokesman Ned Price denied unclearly the allegations, saying that the communication of President Hollande is not a target. Instead, intelligence of French official went to Washington to discuss this issue. Denial statement was even submitted by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, who stated in a press conference on Tuesday, June 26, that U.S. targeted neither French president nor the U.S. allied countries. The documents of the United States Security Agency NSA about the espionage on France, which was revealed by the WikiLeaks, had been published by newspaper Liberation and website Mediapart. Previous allegation was also directed to NSA, despite German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the leaders of Brazil and Mexico. News about a spying done by NSA was leaked by Edward Snowden, who ever worked as a manager at NSA. Now he is in Russia. The news was leaked through WikiLeaks website, which contains most of the activities carried out by NSA to some other countries. The espionage case was first filed by U.S. Civil Liberty Union after the disclosure of a spying by Snowden. Then the court decided that the spying activities of NSA could be considered as an expanded security measures after the attack against World Trade Center on September 11th. The next court considered that the spying done by NSA by intercepting telephone conversation was unlawful. However, the judge who handled the decision in 2013 did not stop the program. Instead, he simply urged the U.S. Congress to take action. Listener, that was Commentary Today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from the day in the past as recorded in history. We start from historical event on June 26, 1945, the signing of the United Nations Charter. The United Nations Charter is the constitution of the United Nations. The Charter was signed in San Francisco on June 26, 1945, by 50 members of the United Nations. The 50 countries are called the original members. The Charter was officially came into force on October 24, 1945, after has been ratified by five founding members, namely China, France, the Soviet Union, Great Britain, and the United States. The UN Charter is also a constituent agreement, and all signatories are bound to the contents. In addition, the Charter also explicitly stated that the United Nations Charter has authority over the whole other agreements. On June 26, 1976, Canada's National Tower, which was built in 1973, is the highest tower in the world. The height of the tower is 553 meters. The Canada's National Tower is located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it is designated as the icon of the city. The tower is visited by more than 2 million people annually. We take you to have a look at another historical event on June 26, 2000. Pramodya Anantatur received a main prize at the 11th Asia Fukuoka Cultural Award. Pramodya Anantatur was one of the productive authors in the Indonesian historical literature. Pramodya has resulted more than 50 literary works and were translated into more than 41 foreign languages. For his works, Pramodya Anantatur received the Asia Fukuoka Cultural Award. The prize of Asia Fukuoka Culture is given to the achievement in the field of creation and preservation of Asian culture. The award was given since 1990 by the government of Fukuoka, Japan. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, agrees an aspiration fund. Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, finally approved the distribution of aspiration fund budget of 20 billion rupiah per member each year. The proposal of electoral district development program was approved in a plenary session on Tuesday, June 23rd. Deputy Speaker of House Fahri Hamzah, who led the plenary session, said that the management of this program will be set for accountable and not overlap. Before deciding, the plenary session heard report of the Working Committee of the House of Representatives about the Fund Aspiration and Team Leader Report Right Aspiration Fund. Chairman of the Working Committee, Toto Haryanto, said in a report, the National Democrat Party, NASDEM faction, People's Conscience and PDIP reject the proposal. PDIP faction member Arif Wibowo said the board members are no longer responsible for the electoral district. The rights to fight or propose the development program that's supposed to be nationally based. Meanwhile, Democrat Party participated to accept the proposal of the Aspiration Fund. In fact, previously chairman of the party, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, in his personal Twitter account denied the existence of fund's aspiration. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono suggested that Parliament and the government do not hesitate to take decision. Chairman of the Democratic Party, Edi Baskoro Yudhoyono, denied his party changed its way. According to him, since the beginning, he is supporting the program since it has clear mechanism. Indonesian Minister of National Development, Andrinov Caniago, after attending a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office on Wednesday, June 24, said, President Joko Widodo does not agree with the DPR Aspiration Fund program because he said it would intersect with the development program that has been drawn up by the government. Furthermore, Andrinov Caniago said Parliament should rerun the inherent function. If they return under each function, everything will run well. The DPR back on the supervisory function, budget talks, and legislation. Adrinov said, the government will only run the programs that have been established in the National Medium-Term Development Plan, or RPJMN. However, official attitudes related to the parliament that passed the DPR regulation on procedures for proposing development programs or the aspiration funds will be discussed further. Meanwhile, head of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Zulkarnain asked the council members to take into account the potential for corruption in the program. Moreover, it is a very large amount of funds and the implementation involves a lot of people from the executive and legislative institutions whose programs scattered throughout the regions. That was today's focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, June 26, 2015. I'm Dalat Pani. Compass Daily writes, evaluation on the direction of development policy. Compass contacted a number of people and summarized their opinions regarding the direction of development in Indonesia. The summary concludes that it is time to evaluate the direction of Indonesia's development. The development must be ensured to improve the quality of human. Development oriented on economic growth alone could not address the issue of the gap and the number of poor people. Head of the Institute of Demography of the Faculty of Economics, University of Indonesia, Sonny Hari Harmadi, said the steps should be taken by the government is quality development, focusing on improving the quality of human life. Meanwhile, Radar Panchadahana, a humanist, has a view. There needs to be a real cultural strategy to restore the issue of working to glorify man. Sindo newspaper writes, alternative road for mudik severely damaged. The government claims the homecoming or mudik preparations continue to be fixed. Various modes of transportation are alerted and road infrastructure continued to experience improvement. But the facts on the ground show readiness not run optimally. Congestion and traffic accidents are still shadowing the implementation of this year's homecoming, or mudik, while the main roads are not ready. Another concern occurs in the condition of the alternative roads. Some damage has not been handled. Severe damage, among others, observed mainly in Java Island, starting from West Java to Central Java. Damaged road conditions often lead to traffic accidents. There were not a few motorcyclists who fell and got injured. While the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Hadi Mulyono Basuki, admitted the preparation for mudik or homecoming is continuously fixed, although it is not completely perfect. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia Daily writes, President rejects aspiration fund. President Joko Widodo's insistence to reject the proposal on electoral district development program or aspiration funds continue to arise. President Jokowi until now undecided, but there is a hint that the president will reject the proposal. The queues expressed by Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro. According to Bambang, the president would reject the proposal of the aspiration fund worth 20 billion rupiahs for member or 11.2 trillion rupiahs per year if the funding mechanism is outside the provisions of the state budget. Another queue was stated by State Secretary Pratikno. Pratikno hopes the House reconsiders their proposed aspirations because the flagging global economy and the impact on the global economy. Republika Daily writes, Trade Minister relies on market operations. The government chose to rely on low-cost markets and market operations to stabilize prices of basic necessities. This was done simultaneously in all regions in Indonesia from the beginning of Ramadan until Eid. Meanwhile, Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel declared that the national stable stock is insufficient quantities. Thus, he asks people not to worry about the availability of basic goods. In addition to low-cost market, he stated, price stabilization pursued by controlling the stock of staples. The government's efforts have the support of the private sector. Chairman of the Indonesian Retail Business Association, Roy Nicholas Mendei, said retail businesses is engaged in low market held by the government. Low markets take effect from June 25 until July 10 at 200 locations in 34 provinces throughout Indonesia. Well, listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has vowed to crack down on growing illegal tin mining activities in the country to ensure that the government will be able to control tin production more effectively. Another patient suspected of being infected with Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS, has been declared free from the virus, the latest in the series of false alarms since last year. Head of the Health Ministry Research and Development Division, Chandrayoga Aditama, said that the patient, a 2-year-old boy who was admitted to Sulian Tisrosa Hospital in Jakarta, was not infected by the disease, after a team from the ministry conducted a series of tests. The campaign of danger for using narcotics and drug abusers can give information for many people, even by having negative event. It is expected for people not to use it. This was stated by Social Observer of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Iren Gayatri, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday related to International Day of Anti-Drug Abuses. Indonesian Foreign Ministry says it cannot verify a report that an Indonesian jihadist fighting for the Islamic State or ISIS has been executed by the group of infecting some of its members with AIDS. At least 16 groups of musicians and individual artists from Indonesia as well as other countries took part in the festival Dawai Nusantara FDN. The country's string instrument music festival in Malang is Java. The newly appointed president director of the Indonesian Stock Exchange, or IDX, Tito Sulistyo, promised on Tuesday that he would triple the transaction value at the local stock market to 15 trillion rupiah, or around $1.13 billion, during his 3-year term. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Deputy Prime Minister Vietnamese Foreign Affairs Minister Phan Binh Minh have led the second meeting of the Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation at Gedung Pancasila, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister in Jakarta on Friday. The second meeting of the Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation between Indonesia and Vietnam is one of the key mechanisms to explore the opportunities and challenges in order to strengthen the bilateral relations between the two countries. During January 2015, Malaysian Air Force has violated Indonesian airspace on Subatik Island, North Kalimantan, for 7 times. From the 7 violations, Indonesian government has sent 2 protest notes to Malaysian government, while the 5 others are still waiting for the completeness of data before it is sent to Malaysian government. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Riau Islands province to enjoy Pantai Pasir Panjang Karang Bersulam's panorama. So stay tuned. Listener, Lingga is one of the regencies in the Riau Islands province. Almost the entire regions are surrounded by ocean. Therefore, this regency has great potential for marine tourism, especially its beaches. For you who love beaches, you do not miss Pantai Pasir Panjang Karang Bersulam when you travel to Lingga. Located in the Mala hamlet, Mepar village, Pasir Panjang Beach offers a unique contour of coast, resemble curve with a coastline of 2 kilometers. The beauty of this beach is more perfect by the presence of Piatu Hill as well as Chinook Mountain Range that is not far away. The expanse of white and smooth sand is another advantage of Pasir Panjang Karang Beach. When it recedes, a stretch of sand reaching up to tens of meters juts into the sea. That's the best time for you to do beach volleyball, beach soccer, and other beach sports. Or a walk on the surface of the wet sand to the sea is also a pleasant tourism activity. If the sea tides, you can swim or bend in any side. The waves on the beach are relatively calm. In Pasir Panjang, there is a sea sports center building where you can rent a canoe, boat, and snorkel devices. If you travel to this beach, do not forget to take a walk along the west side of the beach. Located approximately 500 meters from the middle of the beach,
you will find a headland which by local residents often called it Tanjung Chengki or Club's Cave. This Club's Cave has a small hill that is not so high, only a few hundred meters above the sea level. From the peak of this hill, you can see the panorama around it. In the past, this hill, by the Lingga Sultanate, served as a fortress to observe the presence of the enemy. If you have been satisfied swimming and surfing at Pantai Pasir Panjang, you may take a rest for a moment in gazebos scattered at a number of points around the beach. You can open your lunch or buy food and drinks at the food stalls. For those interested in traveling to Pasir Panjang, this beach is located not far from the Daik city center, the capital of Lingga Regency, and can be reached by motorcycle or four-wheel vehicles. The traveling time to get this area is about 25 minutes. When you want to go to the beach, you do not need to pay anything, including parking. Lingga Regency can be reached from Tanjung Pinang, Riawalan's provincial capital, with sea transportation, or from Batam City with air transportation. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pantai Pasir Panjang Karang Bersulam. We will meet you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you the International Day Against Drugs. Narcotics is a big problem which is faced by almost every country in various parts of the world. Every year, the number of narcotics users increases. In Indonesia, the number of narcotics users increases sharply in just a few seconds. Every day, more than 10 narcotics users die. Therefore, the Indonesian government declares battle against narcotics. Not only Indonesian people and the government that declare the thing, but also all people around the world. June 26 is the date chosen by the world citizens as the International Day Against Drugs. Various activities are then arranged and held to raise awareness of the young generation in all over the world to stay away from drugs. The Indonesian government, through the National Narcotics Agency or BNN, held an anti-narcotics event themed an anti-narcotics afternoon lately. A noted Indonesian band, Slang, was assigned to hold the concert. Slang itself is selected as anti-narcotics ambassador by BNN because they managed to save themselves from narcotics. This success is considered a big example for the Indonesian young generation to stay away from drugs.
This concert aims to invite audience to avoid narcotics. To support the young generation who are affected by narcotics, BNN provided narcotics consultation post near the concert stage and exhibition stands, which provided important information about narcotics for the concert visitors. Thus, people are expected not to try consuming drugs. The concert by slang is the form of support from slang for narcotics eradication in Indonesia. They want narcotics to be eradicated from this country. The United Nations has set June 26 as the International Day Against Drugs since 1987. Every June 26, the International Day Against Drugs is commemorated in the world with various events to remind people of the destroying narcotics for human. Besides, the International Day Against Drugs commemoration gives enlightenment to students, civil servants, and employees or workers in companies who are susceptible to the misuse and black distribution of narcotics. Well, boy listener, that ends today's miscellany on the International Day Against Drugs. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me Rahma in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's religious pop edition, we present you Indonesian cleric who was also a religious pop singer, Jeffrey Al-Bukhari, or known as Uje. Although the late Uje has left us for good, his religious songs stay alive. Well, listener, to begin the program, here is a song by Uje entitled Itiraf. Happy listening.
Fahtimani Abduka al-Asi ataka Muqirran bil-dhunubi wa qad'aka Fa in taghfir fa anta lidhaka abu Wa in tadrud fa man narju siwa
Listener, Jeffrey Al-Bukhari, or popularly called as Ustadz Uje, was born in Jakarta, April 12, 1973, and died in Jakarta, April 26, 2013, at the age of 40. He was a preacher, singer, and actor. Uje died of accident in Pondok Indah, South Jakarta, at 2 a.m. He hit a tree after losing control while riding a motorbike Kawasaki ER6N with the plate number of B3590SGQ. Uje was brought to Pondok Indah Hospital and Fatmawati Hospital, but he couldn't be saved. Ustadz Jeffrey was buried at Karet Bifak Cemetery, Tangsin, Central Jakarta. When he was still alive, he was a preacher who performed in a familiar style to the young generation. Alright, listener, before we move on, let's listen to a song by Uje entitled Sepohon Kayu. Enjoy.
Sembahyang apa gunanya walaupun hidup seribu tahun bila tak sembahyang apa gunanya kami bekerja sehari-hari untuk belanja rumah sendiri walaupun Hidup seribu tahun Bila tak sembahyang Apa gunanya Walaupun hidup seribu tahun Bila tak sembahyang Apa gunanya Kami sembahyang Fardu sembahyang Sunnah pun ada bukan sembarang supaya Allah menjadi sayang kami bekerja hati lari yang supaya Allah menjadi sayang kami bekerja hati
Listener, the journey of Uje as a preacher was so long. Little Uje has got a strong Islamic education. After finishing study at elementary school, Uje continued his study to Pondar El Kolam Gintung Islamic Boarding School. He was then dropped out of the school because of his naughtiness. He moved to Madrasah Aliyah, which is the same level as senior high school. However, he was getting naughtier. Uje did not change his attitude until his mother asked him to perform umrah or small hajj with his brother. Uje preached for the first time in a mosque in Mangga Dua, Central Jakarta. Since then, Uje started preaching at Majlis Taklim or Islamic Study Group, Musola or Small Mosque, and TV. In addition, Uje delivered his preach through Islamic songs. His debut album, Lahir Kembali, was released in 2006. He composed several songs and performed the songs with Islamic religious singers like Opik and even Ungu in the band's mini-album Para Pencarimu in 2007. Listener, to end our today's religious edition, let's enjoy two songs by Uje entitled Bidadari Surga and Azab Ilahi. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Setiap manusia punya rasa cinta yang mesti dijaga kesuciannya. Namun ada kala insan tak berjaya saat dusta mampir bertahta. Ku inginkan dia yang punya setia dan mampu menjaga kemurniannya. Saat ku tak ada, ku jauh carinya. Amanah pun jadi penjaganya. Hatimu tempat berlindung dari kejahatan syahwatku. Tuhanku merestui itu. Dijadikan engkau istriku. Engkau lah bidadari surgaku. Tiada yang memahami segala kekuranganku kecuali kamu bidadariku. Maafkanlah aku dengan kebodohanku yang tak bisa membimbing dirimu. Hati
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.